Well, a beautiful sunny Friday. It's the 13th. We got a lot to get to. We'll get to the latest cave news. We'll get to President Trump and the press. We'll get to Netflix. We'll get to some restaurant news and more coming up. The cave in Thailand where the amazing rescue took place. Now, what do you think of this? The cave will now become a tourist spot. That's right. The head of the rescue mission and the governor of the district says the cave will now become a living museum to show how the operation unfolded. Prime Minister they warned that precautions have to be taken to keep visitors safe, including adding lights and signs. Has this ever happened before where there's been such an awful disaster? Well, I guess if you talk about 9/11, Ground Zero, that's what it is now. It's a huge, huge tourist destination. In fact, right now, summer, when all the tourists are here, you can't really even get near that place. There's lines for miles, so the cave will become the same thing. The villagers said the cave has always been a problem, prone to flooding and all that stuff, and authorities need to put clear warnings and everything there. So it'll now be a major, major tourist spot. Going to the cave, getting yourself a cave hat, cave t-shirt, cave postcards, and all that stuff. As I mentioned the other day, every major Hollywood producer was there on the ground at the cave a couple days ago, talking to everybody, looking for how to make a movie out of it, whose story to buy, who to sign up. So the cave will live on and be... Although, I don't know. This could be like the Gotti movie where a year from now, everybody forgot about it. But we'll see. We'll take some calls. 2-800-321-0710 is the number. President Trump in London, where the protests, they weren't much yesterday. Today, they're massive protests all over London. I don't know what they're protesting. I have no idea what they're protesting. I don't think they have any idea what they're protesting. You know, you got all the fake news and MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, the Jeff Bezos Washington Post, all the fake news and the Colberts and all this fake news, ginning everybody up, Trump this, Trump that. I don't think anybody really knows what they're mad at. But what are they actually mad at? Actually, things are going pretty well. Economy's on fire. Unemployment at an all-time low. We actually finally got those NATO people to start paying their fair share. So far, it's been a series of successes. Looks like things are really good on track with North Korea. I know there's a tariff problem, but that'll be settled. In fact, that should be a pretty easy victory in the end because the tariffs don't really hurt us that much. They could kill China. Their whole economy depends on exports, so they're more vulnerable than we are. But I don't know what they're all protesting. So today there was a press conference earlier this morning with Prime Minister May, and they each agreed at the end of the press conference to take a few questions, and the CNN guy, that awful fake news guy, a real fake news guy, Jim Acosta, he kept ignoring him. And then John Roberts of Fox News was trying to ask a question. Roberts is very good, longtime CBS news guy, now at Fox. But then Acosta kept trying to jump in and ask a question. Listen to the president handle it. This is the reason we elected him. The whole thing, the whole election was worth it just for this moment. Listen to him when the CNN guy's trying to ask a question.
John Roberts, go ahead, John. No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network.
Isn't that a great moment? A whole election was worth it just for that. This fake news Jim Acosta. And then you had Peter Strzok testifying yesterday. What a sleazeball. These FBI guys are going to find themselves in a lot of trouble. You already got the first Inspector General's report declaring Strzok corrupt, sleazy, biased. McCabe, McCabe's already asking for immunity from prosecution. Comey's the one who will be in trouble next. There's an IG report in the works on Comey. And then Strzok, he's a very cocky guy. When you watch him, he just gave a very bad impression. Smug, smirking, who looked like a really bad, guilty guy on the stand trying to talk his way out of it. Some points he refused to answer.
Where the FBI has directed me not to answer, I will abide by the FBI's instructions. But let me be clear. This is not because I don't want to answer your questions. If I were permitted to answer, I would. And the answers would doubtless be disappointing to the questioners and undermine the conspiracy narrative being told about the Russia investigation.
Well, he slipped, though, because he's got a big mouth and he kept yapping and yapping. And he slipped and said a few things about where that dossier came from that will come back to haunt him. At some point, you need a second special counsel to look into all of this. And at some point, you need to shut down the whole Mueller thing. The problem is Jeff Sessions should be arrested for loitering at the Attorney General's office. He's not functioning. He's not doing anything. You got this creepy, weird swamp snake, Rod Rosenstein, overseeing things. Sessions has to go, put in a real attorney general to take charge. It should probably fire Rosenstein. And then at some point, you got to call Mueller in. There's no supervision on Mueller. He's yet to find anything to do with Trump or Russia. He's investigating Paul Manafort's lobbying business from 20 years ago. He's looking at Michael Cohen's taxicab business from 9 years ago. He's got General Flynn's side deal consulting business that has nothing to do with Trump. So far, he's not found anything to do with Trump. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. At some point, you got to call Mueller in and say, you got to tell us what you got. If you got nothing, we've got to shut this down. Also, the problem with the FBI corruption, it's now coming out in the IG report and the Strzok testimony that there was never any real basis for the Mueller investigation. There was never any actual evidence of Russian collusion. Nothing, nothing, zero, nothing. You can't talk about that little phony lawyer meeting. Remember that little lawyer that came in to see Don Jr. and claimed to have said that? I mean, that would be nothing. But there's no actual evidence anywhere of any Russia collusion. So if there's nothing, you have to shut it down. It's been over a year. People will say, wait, but Benghazi went on for 3 years. Whitewater went on for 3 years. Well, there was actual incidents. There was actually a Benghazi incident. In Whitewater, there was an actual incident. In Watergate, there was an actual incident. You can't point to anything here. Mueller's been on this over a year, going on a year and a half. Still can't find the original incident, whatever it was. So it's probably getting time to shut that all down and end it. Hey, the Emmy nominations came out yesterday. You know, in the long history of the Emmy Awards, it was always the big three networks. ABC, NBC, CBS, they would get the most Emmys. And then it got to the point where some of the cable networks, like HBO, would start to get some nominations. And then through the years, especially in the post-Sopranos era, HBO had the best television. They would hire the top people, the top writers, the top everything, and come up with the biggest and best series. And HBO, for the last 17 years, has dominated the Emmy nominations. HBO would always get the most Emmy nominations. And HBO spent a lot of money on creating programs, $2 billion a year. That's a lot of money to go out and buy top writers and producers and television shows. $2 billion a year on content. So for 17 years, HBO got more Emmy nominations than anybody. Well, yesterday, for the first time ever, HBO wasn't number one in Emmy nominations. It was Netflix with 112 nominations. 112, way ahead of HBO. Now, as I said, HBO would spend $2 billion a year on content. But this is Netflix. They're spending $10 billion a year. $10 billion on content. As I told you the other day, the new merger, AT&T taking over, head of AT&T, that's the first thing he was yelling about. HBO better catch up with Netflix. HBO better start dominating again. Well, I don't know how you're going to do that with $2 billion a year. And Netflix has $10 billion a year to spend on content. So when it's the top producer, the top writers, the top idea for a show, the top pilot, no matter what HBO did, Netflix would come in and outbid them and get it. Same thing with Amazon or even Apple now doing the television. They got these tech companies have more money to spend than any broadcasting or cable company ever will. So they totally dominated the Emmys. Anthony Bourdain got a posthumous Emmy nomination. Speaking of tech news, a lot of people worried about the house of the future. I know it'll be all digital, but you know, if you got that Amazon Echo there, that thing is listening to you all day and night. There have already been incidents where it's been recording conversations and sending them out to people. That Amazon Echo has got microphones. It's got 17 microphones in an Amazon Echo. It's listening to everything. I know it's supposed to be off until you say the magic word. I don't trust that it's actually off. A lot of people getting these new smart TVs. The smart TV's got the microphone on at all times, the camera on at all times. There's a number of studies you can see where that smart TV is watching you, spying on you, and selling the data to all kinds of people. Now people are getting the smart refrigerator where it tells you when you're out of something, or you can just talk to your refrigerator, talk to your oven. These are all going to have multiple microphones in them. So they think in the house of the future, wherever you are in the house, even if you're whispering, microphones will pick up and record and save every word that you say. You know, when the new iPhone comes out in September, it's going to have four microphones in it, four separate microphones. They're working on the new generation of earbuds or AirPods. They're going to have microphones in them picking up what you say, supposedly to help, you know, when you want it to do something, it'll do it. You're going to have so many microphones on you in the future. You know, right now, everything you've ever done online, text, email has all been saved. It's all somewhere. Pretty soon, all your words, everything you say in real life is going to be saved. It's going to be a big, big problem. Go try to buy a big new TV that's not a smart TV. It's not easy to do. So let's take some calls. Let's go to Ted in Long Island. Hey, Ted.
Hi, Mark. Great show. Always listen to you. Mark, all big corporations in this company spend millions of dollars on courses to root out unconscious bias. Never mind conscious bias. Unconscious bias is a terrible thing. But Peter Strzok and all the Democrats were sitting and nodding in agreement yesterday that conscious bias is just fine as long as it doesn't interfere. Well, there are tons of books out there that say if you're biased and you can't.
Well, I think but with Strzok, it's an over the top, insane, crazy bias, and he was plotting against the president. It's in his text. The reason the Democrats are defending Strzok so strongly, the Colberts on TV, the Democrats in Congress, the reason they're fighting for Strzok, well, two reasons. One, he's so anti Trump, but also the whole Russia collusion story was fake. It was made up. The dossier's fake. The whole thing is fake. When the Strzok story unravels, that'll take down the dossier, and that's the end of the Russia collusion stuff. Most Americans now know there was no Russia collusion. It's become pretty obvious from the year and a half of Mueller that he couldn't find a damn thing. But once the Strzok story unravels, you'll find out the whole thing was not only fake, there was no Russia collusion, it was a plot to create this fake story. So that's why they defend him so strongly. That's why they're trying to block all this. Hey, speaking of video, you know, if you're a kid today, you're 14, 15 years old, if you have a teenager, and they try to ask you, like, how did you watch a movie back then? Now, a kid today, you watch a movie on YouTube, you watch it on Netflix. Just go online, watch anything you want. You ever explained to a teenager about, like, years ago, Blockbuster? There's still a couple of Blockbusters, but the last two closed in Alaska. The last two Blockbusters, they're in Alaska. Alaska's kind of primitive in a lot of ways. But try to explain to a kid, if you wanted to watch a movie, you had to go to a store, a big store called Blockbuster, and they had DVDs. You had to decide, did you want it on VHS or DVD? No kid will know what you're talking about. And you could buy it or you could rent it. How much was it, like $4.99 or $5.99? You'd rent the DVD and take it home and watch it. And then you had to bring it back. Now, tell that to a 15-year-old. They'll think you're insane. They won't believe what you're saying, that this is what you had to do to watch a movie. But the last two Blockbusters in Alaska closed. I would imagine they have internet access there. I imagine they have Netflix and all that. Hey, some restaurant news. Coffee shop, you know, in Union Square. That was the first hotspot in Union Square 28 years ago. How long would that be? Like 1990? Yeah. 28 years ago, coffee shop opened. It was a big hotspot. It's called Coffee Shop. It was like a pretty hot restaurant. But nobody went to Union Square back then. That was considered a out-of-the-way wilderness sort of place, Union Square. But that was the first big place. And remember Sex and the City? A lot of scenes shot there. It's finally closing after 28 years. And now, on the other hand, you got, if you go to Queens, there's a lot of great delis. One of them was Ben's Best. It's an old-fashioned deli with corned beef and pastrami and all this stuff. 73 years. It's finally closing. One by one, those old delicatessens, the real Jewish delicatessens, all dying. Generations have come along that have no interest in that food. One by one, they're all closing. Hey, the hot new restaurant in all of New York City is going to open. It's, what's his name there? Danny Myers, Union Square Cafe, Shake Shack, million successful restaurants. It's called Manhattan. It's Manhattan without the N on the end. Manhattan. This is going to be the biggest tourist destination hotspot. It's in Fidai. I know, it sounds like I'm speaking another language. Fidai is the new hot neighborhood, financial district. Manhattan will be at the top of a skyscraper, 60th floor. This is Danny Meyer. Remember, everything opens is huge. It'll be on the 60th floor. It's going to be like a French-American menu, about $80 for, it's three courses, $80. But it's 60th floor. It's going to have incredible view. It's going to be the most Instagrammed restaurant in the world. Fidai is going to be the hot neighborhood. It's already booked up like for the first 10 years, practically. Anyway, we'll get to, we got lots to get to. We'll get to President Trump, the press, the media. We'll get to Putin and more coming up. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. You know, there's certain things Donald Trump always says, certain words, like the way you use the word huge. Watch the way he uses the word wrong. It's one of his big words, wrong. Watch this supercut of him using the word wrong. And then, hey, you want to see an amazing story? This is O.J. Simpson. He's on the David Letterman show. Here's an old piece. But watch this story about speeding, about getting a speeding ticket. It's an unbelievable story. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
This is Mark Simone.
Mr. New York, 710WOR.
Well, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. Hey, all that stuff about plastic straws. Everybody's getting rid of plastic straws and all. You know, I should figure out how that all started. There was a movement to do something about plastic straws. And they got that video. There was one video of a turtle choking on a straw or something. And that video went viral and it's everywhere. But, you know, researchers that actually look into this, the plastic that's down there messing up the fish and choking fish, and they say the biggest problem isn't the straws. It's fishing stuff, fishing line, fishing lures and all that. So it's mostly plastic. And that's what ends up more than anything down at the bottom of the ocean. So there's a big movement to ban them. But, you know, if you talk to scientists and researchers, they'll tell you there's just as much environmental problems with paper products, paper straws, and all that stuff, too. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, two quick points. Mark, I got to give you credit. I followed you, Long John Neville, all of you guys for years. You're the most intelligent thing on the air.
I would agree with that, yes. I would.
Hear me out. You may not agree with what I'm saying. But,
all right, but
isn't it ironic that Me Too goes on the Howard Stern show for mentorship? And secondly, how the hell did Danny Myers get so much power without Bloomberg pulling strings? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, good. Now let's talk about something else. I hate these people that say, I'll hang up and listen. Like, I don't even want to be on the phone with you when you talk. So are you listening now? Good. We'll change the subject. Anyway, let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Mark. Two things quickly. I have a Papa John's question, but according to CNN with Jim Acosta, who was crude and disrespectful to President Trump, do you recall the exchange between President Nixon and Dan Rather with, are you running for something, sir?
Yes.
And that isn't was pretty tame.
Yeah, isn't it funny that Rather turned out to be the biggest fake news guy ever in history with that fake story about going AWOL in the National Guard? That whole thing was total fraud. He used a fake document. When he found out it was a fake document, he kept using it. And they told him to back off. CBS warned him. He kept going. He flew in witnesses to say, even though the document is fake, it's what the guy really believed. But the guy's wife and kids were telling Rather that's not what he believed. And he wouldn't put them on the air. He only put in the secretary. There was a CBS investigation. He was the real king of fake news. Jim Acosta tried to ask the president a question. This is one of Trump's greatest moments today. Listen to this.
John Roberts, go ahead, John. No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network.
I love that. Hey, when we come back, Jackie the Joke Man. Jackie Martling will be with us in a moment.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, Jackie, the joke man, Jackie Martling, you know, he's got a best-selling book out from Bow to Stern, his autobiography. Also, you can follow him on Twitter, at Jackie Martling, new joke every day at 420. And August 3rd and 4th, he's at Giggles, Saugus, Massachusetts, with Lenny Clark. And he's with us now. Jackie Martling, how you doing?
I am doing so good. So a guy walks in bars and says, "Bartender, I would like one big beer." The bartender says, "One big beer coming up." The guy said, "Wait a minute, bartender. I came in here to have a beer and relax. I did not come in here to be made fun of by the likes of you." The bartender said, "No, no, my friend. You don't understand. This is the way I talk." The guy said, "Oh, I'm sorry, bartender. Just give me my beer and I'll mind my P's and Q's and behave myself." A few minutes, another guy walks in and says, "Bartender, one beer." The bartender says, "One beer coming up." The first guy says, See? I knew you were making fun of me." The bartender leans over and says, No, I'm making fun of him." One more before we talk. Guys walk along and see the sign in the drugstore window. "Today we have the mind-reading druggist." He says, "What is this?" He walks in, guy behind the counter. He says, "Are you the mind-reading druggist?" And he says, "Yep." He says, "See that lady over there? Hey, lady. You're here for tampons, right?" She says, "Nope, I'm here for suppositories." He turns to the guy and says, "How much I miss by?"
So, why are so many jokes a guy walks into a bar? How come there's no joke a guy walks into a laundromat? It's always a bar.
It's not that funny in a laundromat. A diner, you know, you can walk into a diner. You know, like a guy walks in a diner and says to the waitress, "I want a bowl of hot chili." She says, "I'm sorry, sir, the guy next to you got the last bowl." He looks over, the guy next to him just about done eating, his chili bowl's still full. He says, "You going to eat that?" He says, "No, you want it?" He says, "Yeah, help yourself." So the guy takes the chili, starts eating it, and gets about halfway down, and his fork hits a dead mouse. And he goes, and he pukes the chili back in the bowl. The other guy says, "Yeah, that's about as far as I got, too."
So you have 8 billion jokes in your head. You could think of a joke about anything.
You know what? I'm working at the Hard Rock Casino, the brand new one down in Atlantic City, 18th, 19th, and 20th, okay? So a guy comes running out of a casino and says to a stranger, "Hey, can I borrow $500? My wife needs an operation." And another guy says, "Well, if your wife needs $500 for an operation, what are you doing in the casino?" The guy says, "Oh, I got gambling money."
So,
they're all good. They're all good. A guy's in a bar in Miami Beach, and this woman comes up to him and says, "I've never seen you here in this bar before." He says, "Well, to tell you the truth, lady, I just got out of prison. I just did 30 years for killing my wife with a hatchet." She says, "So you're single?" Hey, I got a terrible one for you.
All right.
I go to the doctor. He says, "Doc, I got this terrible thing. I got this pimple right in the middle of my forehead, big pimple." So the doctor examines it. He says, "My God, my friend, I don't know how to tell you this, but you have a penis growing out of your forehead." The guy says, "Oh, no. What? What are we going to do?" And the doctor says, "Well, we're going to have to wait until it grows to full size, and then I can remove it." The guy says, "Well, Doc, I can't spend years walking around looking up at a penis growing out of my forehead." And the doctor says, "Don't worry. In a few years, the testicles will cover your eyes."
Now,
how the hell are you doing, man?
Let me ask you a question. This is the most politically correct world. Everything's PC nowadays.
Not for me. I don't care. You know why the crack of your butt goes up and down instead of from side to side?
Why?
That's the one you slide down the banister. You don't go.
Now, do you know who Jerry Delafamina is? He's the big ad guy.
Of course I do. Yeah. You know where his book came from?
No.
His book was called "From Those Wonderful Folks Who Gave Us Pearl Harbor." You want to talk about politically incorrect?
Yeah.
He was supposed to come in with a advertising campaign for either Sony or Mitsubishi or something, and he spent the whole weekend getting drunk. And he came in Monday morning, and he hadn't done any work. And he's sitting around with, 20 Japanese guys, and they said, "What's your concept for the advertising campaign?" He says, "How about this? from those wonderful folks who gave us Pearl Harbor. And he got fired on the spot, and that was the name of his book. Now, do you know him, or did he pass away?
No, I know him, but he writes a column. It's been a big column for like 30 years in whatever the big Hamptons newspaper is. So he quit yesterday because they finally censored a column he wrote. The words, a handicapped midget, and they censored the column. They said it's not...
I got to talk to this guy. That's so absurd.
Yeah, so...
That is crazy.
And even Seinfeld says he won't go to colleges anymore because they're too PC. You can't say one wrong word. But, Jackie Martling, you do fine in this world.
I don't care. You know, I was just talking to... I got a friend who's a basketball player on the Knicks, and he just married a lady midget. And I said, why would you marry a lady midget? He said, I'm nuts over her.
Now, wait a minute.
So a guy goes into a confessional, and he says, looks down. He says, this is fantastic. Look at this. Bourbon, a couple of joints of pot, a little bit of cocaine, some female magazines. And from the other side, the priest says, you moron, that's my side.
Now, hey, there's this big...
A college couple, it's the middle of the night, and a college couple's out on the meadow fooling around. And she says, Harry, I wish you had a flashlight. And he says, why is that? She says, you've been eating grass for 15 minutes.
Now, wait a minute. You can't say that. You see, if you were Jerry Delafamina, that would be the end of your column right there.
Oh, you know when Pinocchio realized he was made out of wood?
No.
The day his hand caught fire. Come on, that's so harmless, right?
That's terrible, but very funny.
The guy's a mortician, and he opens up the body bag, and the body has the hugest penis he's ever seen. He can't believe the size of his penis. He says, Sheila, get in here and see this. And she comes in and looks, and there's the body lying there with this immense penis. She says, it looks like my Morty. He says, Your husband has a penis that big? She says, no, that dead. Listen, I was watching Bill Maher the other night. I'm sure you hate Bill Maher, but
I love Bill Maher. We're old friends.
He's so liberal and so great, but he said, listen, there's no joke. If everybody gets hurt. There is no such thing as a joke. That's why it's called a punchline. There's got to be a butt of every joke, whether it's a Polish guy or a blonde or a midget or a fat person or yourself. You know, everybody makes fun of everything, and if you didn't make fun of things, we'd all go crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Chris Rock. He's tried to tone himself down in the PC world, and it's hurt him. He used to be the funniest guy on earth.
You know, they just can't, you know. Who cares? You know, there's a dozen nuns are out bicycle riding, and they're all giggling and carrying on, and the Mother Superior says, you better calm down, girls. I'm going to put the seats back on those bicycles.
Now, wait a minute. This is not PC here. So
the kid's digging a hole in his backyard, and the neighbor lady says, what are you doing, Johnny? He says, I'm digging a hole to bury my goldfish. She says, why are you digging such a big hole? He says, because he's inside your cat.
Well, Jackie Martling, a great comedian. I wish we could get you to do a few jokes or something.
Oh, I don't know any jokes. I don't know any jokes.
Now, how do you...
His wife passed away, and the guy is kneeling at her casket at the wake, and he's crying and sobbing. His friend comes up, kneels down next to him, says, hey, Harry, listen, I know it's very sad that Ruthie passed away, but, you know, and I know how horrible it must be, but, you know, like in a couple weeks, the pain will start to subside, and, you know, maybe in a couple months, you'll go on a date, and maybe eventually have another girlfriend, and you might even get married again and live happily ever after. And Harry says, yeah, but what am I going to do tonight?
Hey, Jackie Martling, you know, there's this big documentary on Robin Williams going to be on HBO.
I went to the premiere last night.
Oh, you did?
And it was, you know, it's so funny. I couldn't believe what a great time. Brian Cox was there. Have you seen this new show called Resurrection?
No.
I mean, not Resurrection. What's it called? Where they pass on the it's like the Rupert Murdoch story.
Yeah.
And
Succession.
I, you know, I'm old. I can't think of words. But Brian Cox was there, and Kevin Pollak, Robert Klein, John Voight was there, and he was just hysterical. Everybody, you know, a bunch of really, really great people. But it's so engrossing and so wonderful. And when it got done, you couldn't really go up and say, man, that was great, because it's so well done and so moving. But it's so unbelievably sad and depressing. You know, like, it was a party afterwards at Studio 54, or 54 Below, rather. And it was like, it was almost maudlin, because it was no cause to celebrate. You know, Alex Gibney, I mean, made this incredible documentary, but it just ripped your heart out. You know what I mean?
Well, he was kind of a sad guy in real life, and a strange sort of guy.
But it seems like he got sad at the end. You know, I mean, he was so busy partying and going wild. There was so much stuff I didn't even know about him. But, you know, it's just a monster talent. You know, I almost look at things like this and say, I'm glad that I'm not that talented, because I'm just smart enough to not, I mean, I'm just untalented enough that I don't get carried away and get absolutely berserk.
Yeah.
You know, my first videotape was called A Safe Distance from Genius, because, you know, if you're too smart, you're crazy. It makes you nuts, you know?
Well, that's true. Although he was a big stealer of jokes, Robin Williams.
You know, it's so funny. Do you have any idea who Lenny Schultz is?
Sure, yeah.
Well, they had him doing a joke last night, and it was a Lenny Schultz joke. And I remember the story of Lenny Schultz being mad at him for taking that 40 years ago. I'm like, why the hell? I guess nobody knows that, you know.
Well, he was legendary for stealing everybody's jokes, everybody's
stuff. But you know what? And I always defended him, because what he is he was like a sponge, and he would just, so much stuff would go into his head and come out of it. I'm sure he didn't even remember where it came from. Like me, I tell old jokes. I don't know where the hell they came from, but they're all old jokes. And I just, you know, spew them back. But they're not from people's acts, you know. But he, you know, there were people that just, they wouldn't even go on stage when he was in the room. Yeah. You know, it was pretty crazy.
Well, it's a documentary. It's on HBO this weekend. Well, everybody go see Jackie Martling. You're at the Hard Rock right now, right?
No, I'm at... August 3rd and 4th, I'm at Giggles Comedy Club. It's the greatest show in the world. I'm with Lenny Schultz and Christine Hurley, the two king. They're like the king and queen of Boston, and it's so flattering that they put me on the show. And then we actually fly in a private plane to Martha's Vineyard and do a show at the Portuguese Rec Room. And last year, Bill Murray was there, and I came off stage, and he said to me, what the hell were you doing to those people? It sounded like you had a machine gun up there. And I'm like, well, that's about the finest compliment I've ever
had. That's a pretty good one, yeah. And follow Jackie Martling on Twitter, a new joke every day at 420, at Jackie Martling on Twitter.
So I got one more for you. So a guy comes home really drunk, and he knows he's going to get in trouble, and it's very dark in the living room. He sees his wife sleeping under a blanket. So he undresses and climbs under the blanket and just has wild sex with her. And then he gets up and makes his way in, and he goes into the bathroom, and his wife is sitting on the toilet bowl. He goes, Jesus, who's sleeping on the couch? She says, my mother. He says, I just had sex with her. And his wife goes running in, and there's her mother sitting on the couch. She says, Ma, Charlie just had sex with you. And her mother says, I know. So why didn't you say something? She says, I haven't spoken to that piece of crap in 20 years. I wasn't going to start tonight.
Well, Jackie Martling, great talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Let's do it again soon, Mark. Thank you very much. And I'll see you at the Hard Rock, 18th, 19th, 20th of September.
All right. And get Jackie's book from Bow to Stern. It's autobiography. Great book. Hey, check out the webpage. We've got some great stuff up there. Donald Trump, you know, one of the words he uses all the time is wrong. You may not have noticed. Watch this supercut of how he uses that word. Also, O.J. Simpson. Watch this story. He's on with David Letterman. Amazing story about speeding. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com and then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.